Welcome to the Property Management Mastermind Show with your host, Brad Larson. Brad owns one of the fastest growing property management companies in San Antonio, Texas. This podcast is for property managers by property managers. You'll hear from industry leading professionals on best practices, new ideas, success stories, and lessons learned. This is your opportunity to learn about the latest industry buzz surrounding property management, as well as tips and strategies to improve your business. Now here's your host, Brad Larson.
Hello everyone, this is Brad Larson, host of the Property Management Mastermind Podcast. To see a complete list of the offers and discounts we have worked to provide, visit our website at propertymanagementmastermind.com. In there, you will find additional discounts from Tenant Turner, Citizen Home Solutions, PMW Websites, and several others. Also, be sure to check out our Seminar and Conferences tab, where we highlight different conferences going around the country, business and property management related. Lastly, be sure to seek out the Facebook group we have started and become a member. In that group, the PM community at large, to include vendors, are welcome to join. Hello, everyone. We wanted to offer you a brief introduction to our newest product on the PropertyManagementMastermind.com site. It's called the Business Development Toolkit. In 2017, RentWorks organically grew by over 360 plus homes. In 2018, we are on pace to grow another 500 homes. All of this has been without any acquisitions by going out to meet the people and earn the business one at a time. This toolkit will provide you all the marketing materials, business development scripts, and follow-up plans in a format you can modify and use. The biggest part of this toolkit is we give you the Lead Simple follow-up plan. Now, using Lead Simple as your contact resource management platform, combined with implementing our follow-up plan, will give you a launching pad to build your business. This was over 2 years in the making, pulling bits and pieces from the best companies in the industry. It comes with a 100% money-back guarantee if you are not completely satisfied with this product. Check out our site at propertymanagementmastermind.com to learn more about this new business development toolkit. Hey everyone, in today's recording, I've got Greg Watson here. Got him on the line, and we're going to be talking about business development and growth. Now, Greg is from New Zealand, so he does talk funny. I will warn you on that, but he's a great guy and came highly recommended because he's an operator. He's a guy that's in the business right now doing it. He knows how to do it, teach it, and tell everybody. He knows how to take the awards, that's for sure. So he's a highly awarded guy. So we're going to be talking a lot about business development and growth. And that's a key hot topic here in the States that I think you're going to find very interesting, some of the stuff we touch on. So let's have a listen. And welcome everybody to another edition of the Property Management Mastermind Show. I'm your host, Brad Larson. And today I have a very privileged guest, a very recommended guest named Greg Watson out of New Zealand. And before I steal a lot of his thunder, I'm going to give him the floor for a quick introduction. Greg, how are you today?
I'm great. Thanks, Brad. And it's wonderful being here today. I'm come from New Zealand, right down the bottom of the globe there, in a town the size of about 90,000 people. I'm a business development manager. So my job is growing our property management rent roll and bringing on as many quality doors as possible.
See, the reason I had you on today is you were highly recommended by Todd Breen, who runs Virtually Incredible. He spent a lot of time speaking in Australia and New Zealand, met a lot of good folks, and you came highly recommended. And one of the things I really, really dig is that you're in the business right now. So you're not necessarily trying to pitch us a development side. You're not a outside consultant. You're a dude that's doing this right as we speak. And that's really exciting for us, because what we want to talk about through this episode, it's going to be kind of a wide open channel. We can talk about business development in your wheelhouse and growth, because growth is a big deal. Everyone's very interested in growth, especially here in the US, especially in New Zealand and Australia. Growth is a big hot topic. So let's talk specifically about business development and growth. And it's really wide open, so we can even touch on anything you want to go to from first.
Well, that's great. And Brad, I'll just mention a little bit about how I got to where I am now, just very, very quickly. I'm in a family business, which is quite a nice way of doing things. My father and my brother and myself own the business. And it is a realty business, and we also have a property management department. A number of years ago, the opportunity came to take sole charge of the property management department when it was at about 160 doors. And from there, I saw it as a fantastic opportunity just to grow. And as a person, I get excited and delighted about two things. One is seeing people and helping them on their journey to success. And the other one is around innovation and interesting new ways of doing things. So I've incorporated a lot of that into my business and my strategies.
Talk about some of your track record you've done or completed with in the Watson Integrity vision? Because I've seen lots of accolades on your website. Let's talk through some of those. I mean, take off the modesty gloves for a little bit. Let's just put some good stuff.
In New Zealand, we have two national organizations that are member organizations for property management. There's one called the Real Estate Institute of New Zealand, which is prestigious. My property management company, it is just a local company with two offices, but we've won every national award that you can win for property management through that organization. Through the other organization called the Leading Property Managers of New Zealand, we've won virtually every award. For myself personally, I am in the Hall of Fame for the Leading Property Managers of New Zealand for continually winning the National Business Development Awards. And I've won them three times in both organizations. Mm-hmm. And as well as that, we had some lovely success, Brad, a few years ago where we entered some national business awards, general business awards, and we won a national award for the best small to medium enterprise for best practice. And then we went on to win the Global Business Network's International Benchmarking Award, which is an international award which talks about how you compare your company to others within your workplace, within your field, or outside of your field, nationally and internationally. And in that one, my company with 10 staff in the final beat the Canon photocopier, etc., company from India and the Dubai police force, who have 30,000 staff in the finals. So we have awards for something which, when you are a small to medium enterprise, these days we're a medium enterprise, it gives you something to go by in terms of some measure of success. And when there are large franchise groups, they have their own awards. And so it's easy to sort of see how you compete. Maybe they've got extremely well-established KPIs and things like that. But otherwise, when you're a small company, just doing the job day-to-day like I am, it is a good way of getting an understanding as to whether you're doing things well.
I love it because you may or may not know this, but I've had Ben White and I've also had Bob Walters on the show.
Great.
And their running joke is that you are winning every year, so they had to give you a lifetime award to stop you from winning every year.
Yes, yes.
So that was a running joke between the two of them, and I can see how, especially if you're competing at that. So I really want to go into this a little bit deeper. So tell us more about your company size and maybe where you started, where you are, kind of how many staff members you have, units you manage. Kind of talk about your company.
Great. Well, specifically, I focus on the property management part of the business, which has 10 staff. Our overall business has closer to 30. But the property management side of things, we look after around about 750 doors. And we started from zero. And it's been a journey for many, many years. We've been in business for 22 years. For many years, we were not concentrating really on property management. So the growth that we've had in more recent years has been significant. The staffing structure, we have a system where my role is purely as a business development manager. So although I own the business, I have formed a structure so that I am simply doing the job that I am best equipped for and that I most enjoy. So I do have a operations manager who manages the property managers day to day. And then we have property managers working in pairs of two. Now, we know from research that landlords overwhelmingly enjoy talking to a single person as a single point of contact who knows a lot about their company, about their investment property, I should say, and where things are at. So an oven repair, for example, and so forth, they know there's somebody that has their fingers on the pulse. The reason that we have two working for an owner is that in our country, staff are entitled to 4 weeks annual leave, or they might be illness or a bereavement, where one of those two staff members is away. And that means that for continuity of service, or if a staff member leaves, gets headhunted or something like that, you've actually got two people who intimately know the client's situation. So that the impact of a staff member leaving or being away is minimized. So we have four pairs of two property managers. There's normally a senior, experienced, and a what you might call a junior. And then if the senior does leave, the junior can step up to a senior position.
A couple things on that. So I really want to jump in here. I totally believe in what you're talking about with the single owner point of contact. Big believer in that. And I'm a big believer in redundancy, which is what you built in with the tool, the two-headed monster there, that tool there. And going back to an Australian, Andrew Rees, you may have remembered the masterclass CD that LPMA put out for 2011, where Andrew got on stage and talked about a single owner point of contact system. And I must have listened to that track 100 times. Because that's right when we were about 300, 400 homes, when I listened to that 3-4 years ago. And we implemented that single owner point of contact system here in our business. We manage about 850 to 900 homes at this point. So we're on track with that. We really believe in it. I love the redundancy part of having to manage that particular portfolio, because there is a challenge. When somebody goes away for a vacation, bereavement, family loss, then you kind of, you know, have a little bit of a juggling there going on. And so mentioning that, I want to go back to your role as the company guy. Most often business owners end up being by default the CEO, right? You're going to be, you know, you're kind of like you're managing all these different spinning plates, but you have relegated yourself to be the business development manager, which is really interesting. And very few of my peers left and right who own a management company or anybody's involved in the management industry here do that. They consider themselves a CEO. I do the same thing. I don't have a business. I'm not the business development manager, but we have a business development manager and they oversee the numerous staff members we have in that realm. That's interesting. And I want you to talk more about that dynamic of you saying, I'm going to go this track, and who's running the business. Then you have to talk about that. I mean, somebody's paying attention to the big stuff, but you're hunting and killing doors.
Yeah. So I identified in, I'm a great person, Brad, who learns from mistakes. And I identified earlier in my working life, there were some things I just simply was not so good at. Financial management, staff management, those sorts of things. And I'm really an ideas person, a salesperson. And a few years ago, we decided to work to our strengths and to have every staff member working to their strengths as much as possible. So yes, we did have to put in place a structure. We had to bring in a CEO. We had to restructure the department. So there was a manager for an operations manager for property management. Now, he is my boss. And this might sound strange to you, but if he says to me, Greg, you're not doing well enough, I have to be humble enough or wise enough, I guess, to say, you know what, you're right. And that's why we pay you to get the performance. And it is. So I have this strange dichotomy where I own the company and I'm on the board, because we formed a board as well, which is I would highly recommend. A board helps set a strategic direction with some outside help, etc. So we have a board which I'm on. However, for my value to the company is highest if I am selling and gaining doors, and I feel great about that. I feel great
That's really interesting. Nobody does that, and I think it's very commendable that you can have the spine to hire your own boss.
It's a leap of faith, I can tell you. It's not a decision that you jump into. You just plan it out. But it was all about big picture. So because, although it's a dichotomy, while I'm an owner of the company, I understand if I think objectively that, yes, my best value is not running staff, or but going out and getting doors that are worth, you know, thousands of dollars per annum in income.
That's a lesson learned right there. The self-awareness to know what your strengths and your weaknesses are, to say, okay, I am best at doing this. I'm going to put myself into this role because that's what I'm best at. And if I'm not, someone I need to hire is going to tell me that I'm not.
Absolutely. Yeah. And what's great about that is treating, in effect, you're treating yourself like you would treat other staff members. You take the staffs with the best strengths and put them in the roles where they will do the best for the company. So, but you're right. Many times you just work your way up the ladder and you end up as CEO or the manager. And I think many people would have possibly been in businesses where that's not necessarily to the strength. Somebody that's a fantastic property manager or a fantastic business development manager may not be a best people manager.
Let's go down to the tactical level of business development in itself. And let's talk about maybe some of the best practices, some of the good idea fairy stuff that you might have come up with. Just kind of some of the good things for what you might have seen in the last 6 months or a year. And when I bring up this question, I oftentimes talk to the property managers and I ask them straight up, what's the coolest thing you've seen in the last 12 months? And so sometimes you'll be surprised at those answers, but throwing that out there, what have you seen work in the last 12 months, 2 years, that have really just impressed you and wowed you?
And I know that you're very aware of this, Brad, because I believe that you use them within your company. But one thing that we're getting massive traction and fantastic buy-in from our customers are the 3D tours, the Matterport technology, which in my marketplace, it is unique. So this allows people to, it creates a 3D model of a home. They can stand in any room and look in any direction. Now, if you work in a marketplace where either there are people who can't view properties during the day because maybe they're shift workers, or if they live out of town or overseas, this is the single best thing that I have seen for two reasons. One is it allows tenants to make a very good decision or go 90% of the way through a decision-making process, and they'll either say one of two things when they watch a Matterport. One is, we don't like the house, and that's okay because that's what they would do even if they visited. But the second is, wow, put that on our short list. We're going to fly down, have a look, or we might rent it without actually visiting. Now, as a BDM, that tool is incredibly powerful because if you explain it in a way similar to what I just did, where we're getting people there, that owner's house on the short list, and in my case, I'm lucky enough that we are the only company in my region doing it, that is a fantastic selling point. Because the other thing with Matterport, the 3D and 360 pictures it takes, is you can take the still photographs from that, which are virtually as good as professional photos. They're outstanding.
Yeah, we're big fans of the Matterport. We have the camera. This is something I talked about briefly in one of my last episodes, but it's way back. But let's dive into best practices on that. And I'll talk about kind of what we do, and then you can say this is a great idea or a bad idea, and you can say what you guys are doing. So in the Matterport process, we have three separate distinct management plans. You know, the silver, gold, platinum, the old standby. And in the platinum plan, we'll often throw in the Matterport for free as incentive to sign up for the platinum plan versus trying to give away a percentage point or a free kitten or something like that. We want to throw in the Matterport because also it gives us tremendous time on site. This is the end result of end up why we did this, is now it doubles or triples the time on site people are spent on your website looking at a particular home, double or triple the time on site. So we implemented it as a throw-in for our large plans. They can retail purchase it, retail purchase a tour from us. I think we're charging $150 for that. $125 is what we charge for that 3D Matterport tour. That if you want to do that, just kind of on a, you know, I want to throw it in, but it's not part of the plan. I want to buy it outright. We throw it in for that cost, and we go ahead and get that done and execute and put it out there. You can social media that. You can just do all kinds of different things. So that's kind of what we do. Tell me how you guys are implementing that.
Yes, we're similar, Brad. What I love about what you just said there is giving people the option. So you're giving them the option. Do they want to buy it separately or have it included? We've been using it lately, including it in a plan, because in our marketplace, our fees are the most expensive. We're about to put them up. And when you have fees that are the most expensive, you need to be able to compare on services or products and uniqueness. And the Matterport gives us that uniqueness to help us justify why they are paying a little bit more, which actually in our case helps pay for that Matterport as part of the overall business plan. So that's sort of built into the fact that they're paying a bit more on an annual basis. But we don't give them the choice, and I think we will from today because that's a great tip. Just give someone the option if they want to buy it. Now, we use that. We replace professional photography, so we don't need to hire a professional photographer while we're using the Matterport. So that was a saving, because we have three things that we give to people included in their management fee, which others do not. And that's professional photos. That's a walkthrough video, which is actually a Todd Breen style walkthrough with a camera and talking. And if anyone's not doing the walkthrough videos, the main benefit, particularly when you're selling this idea as a BDM, is that it allows features and benefit selling. So a Matterport, people are looking, or a professional photos, they're looking at the photos with limited interaction. But when you're walking through doing a narration of a property, you can say, well, here, let's say the feature is a deck at the back of the house off the lounge room. But the benefit of that is that they can sit out there in the sun with their friends, get the afternoon sun really nicely, and they can soak up the sun and relax. So you're saying the feature is the deck, but then it's the benefit. So you can see features on a photo, you can see features in a Matterport, but we do like the videos. And so when you say to owners, it's like us showing someone through the property, but pointing out why what they can see is so good. So we do the professional photos, a video walkthrough, and the Matterport. One thing I love about the Matterports is that there is the ability to build in multimedia, and we do that. The examples are user manuals for devices like air conditioning, or it could be we had an oven. I just write down the model of the oven. When I come back, I look it up and find maybe a video about it. I don't know if you know Jamie Oliver, the chef from UK. I had an oven that he sponsors, so a video came up of him talking about the oven and why it's so good. So these are things that you can hover over in the Matterport. And so the combination of these three things, when the way to justify it is in general is probably as follows. So it's saying, Brad, when I'm valuing your property today, I'm going to give you what I feel is the monthly rent. And it's what we call a market rent. So it's what similar apartments are renting for in the area at the moment. However, we're not going to advertise for that. We're going to advertise higher than that. And here's why. When we show them the likes of this 3D tour, the walkthrough video, or the photos, we want to catch people that love your home. And we're not absolutely sure why they love it. It could be the style of it. It could be the location. It could be that it's very similar to a home close to family or schools. We don't know, but we do know this. If people see a home that they love, they will pay more and they'll be happy. So it's very easy to, when you talk about these features, Brad, like the photos, the video, and the Matterport, to then get buy-in from the owner that they're going to earn more money as well. And it might be an extra $150 a month, which over a year is significant and pays for our fees. So now if we're comparing to the company down the road who is offering what you might say more traditional method of taking the photos themselves and none of these other things, well, yes, you might save supposedly a couple of dollars a week or a few dollars a week in fees, but you're doing yourself out of, you know, up to a couple of $1,000 for not using our company. So that's how you can build it into an overall sort of script.
Now, I want to point out to the audience what you just did to me, because that was basically a role play.
To an extent.
You were playing yourself and I was playing the owner. And essentially you did three different things. Actually, you did features and benefits with me, talked about the features and how it's going to benefit me. And then you also talked about how you can justify your services with the price. Yeah. So you're justifying your cost by, one, I'm going to make you more money by first getting you more monthly rent, second, renting your home faster. If I can rent your home faster and save you a half month in vacancy, that's just like renting your home for $50 or more per month. And you guys do weekly, potentially? You still do?
We do, yes.
Weekly, okay. So it's an interesting model there. They do 52 weekly payments, is that correct?
That is correct, yes.
Yeah, so their fees are different because of that, but it's kind of the same model concept of our monthly payment situation here we do in the States typically.
Yeah, the same scripts apply.
Yeah, and I wanted to point that out because that was a great dialogue you just had of role playing. And that's what you have to do with your business development team and or yourself to understand how you can explain that. Justify your costs, features, and benefits, and go from there with all the different plans. Love what you just did. Perfect, perfect.
Thank you. And I think people are, most people in life are reasonable. And if you can give them good reasons, because let's face it, property management, and we have in New Zealand, the majority of owners of rental properties look after their own properties. And so we have a challenge to justify why they should use us at all. And so that's with the role plays and practicing role plays with staff is really helpful, because if they can convince me, then, and I'm a reasonable person and they can't give me any reason not to, well then why wouldn't you have success?
Let's talk high level there for a second on the country difference. So right now in the US, we're probably getting about 30% penetration rate into the market. What's it there in New Zealand?
It's getting closer to 40. But historically it was as low as 20. So there's been, and by historically, I only mean probably 15 years. Mm-hmm. So what's happened in New Zealand is you could liken it in a sense to a state in the States. So we have, and we have a bit of the British system where law and legislation affects the whole of New Zealand. And so that's where, when they change laws around things like the health of tenants, safety, hazards, fire alarms, anything like this, it's getting more and more complicated for people to do things right. And in New Zealand, we don't have a system where you can sue one another, strange as that might sound. But what we do have are court-imposed fines for breaking the rules. And what's been happening over the last 15 years is it's getting more and more difficult, and people are appreciating more what property managers do. And that's why if you can also say, look, even after paying our fees, you can be $30 a week better off, let alone the fact that we remove all your stress, make sure that things comply, and so on, then really putting an argument forward is easy to use our services. However, the mentality of many owners of rental properties here is that they just like the do it yourself. We like to do it ourselves and that sort of thing. But there's certainly been a change, a shift, and that should be or should happen universally where it's perceived that things are becoming more difficult or where you are adding more value. So that's a challenge to all business development managers to show two things. One is that you're providing more value, day-to-day money into their pocket. The second is that you're making life so much easier in a situation where there are lots of fish hooks that could cause people to pay fines or to be sued.
Mm-hmm. I have new respect for the New Zealand market just after that, because I was not aware that you were very close to the US market as far as the penetration rate.
Yes.
So we're very along the same lines of having to sell to the owners, help the owners understand what we can do for them versus the Australian market, kind of talking to them in parallel, is if you're at a cocktail party in Australia and you're not using the property, you're the leper.
That's right.
You're not using a property manager. What's wrong with you versus you guys in the New Zealand area? It's kind of like hit or miss. I mean, it could be 30, 40, 50%. People using property management, people not. People like the DIY concept. And in certain states, the DIY concept is pretty easy because it's very landlord friendly. With our laws here in Texas, for example, very extremely landlord friendly. You can do the whole suit thing. It's a joke we have here that it's notice to gunpoint in 30 days. You know, that's always a running joke. If somebody doesn't pay the rent, you post notice, you go to court, you get a writ of possession, and you know, you get the sheriff moving them out that quick. 45, 60 days on average, but 30 days is about right.
Hey everyone, this is Allison DeSaro with Seacoast Commerce Bank. You may have heard about us, or you may have even heard my podcast episode with Brad Larson, where we discuss the benefits of banking with property management bank like Seacoast Commerce Bank. We specialize in providing the ideal banking partnership for not only your business, but specifically your trust accounts. In addition, we offer a significant analysis program, which allows us to not only offset your bank fees, but then also offset property management related invoices. You can visit us at our website, or you can call me directly at 619-988-6708.
This is Brad Larson, and I endorse this message. So switching gears, let's talk some cool idea tactics and sales tactics. Give me some ideas on growth, some business development stuff. Let's choose some stuff that you threw out us.
Great. So the one thing that we've found quite successful in recent times is creating a service, and it's in recent times, probably last couple of years, an investor support program, which is a free program to people investing in our local area who are most often investing from out of town or from a different place in the country. As you'll know, Brad, from experience, that as markets change in different areas, the yields and the rates of return in different geographic areas change. And we wanted to make sure that in the cities where the yields are dropping, that they notice our region, and that there is a service where I provide for any property that's for sale. Imagine if you're a buyer you're wanting to buy in Palmerston North, where I live. You can have a look on the internet. Let me know which properties you like. I will physically contact the realtor. I'll go and visit. I'll give you free advice about how much it will rent for, what renovations to do, and so forth, so that you can make a really informed decision. I'll do everything right up until what we call here the pre-settlement inspection, which is when you buy a house and you have a look, the legal opportunity to look just to make sure it's still the way it was before taking ownership. So we can help people through that process. And what that does is it takes away the fear, it gives them a friend in property management and somebody who's got their best interests at heart. For example, Brad, if I went to three houses for you to value them, I would also give you my opinion on which one I would buy if I was in your situation and why, or what renovations to do and what not to do. And many owners of rental properties in this country only own one property or maybe two. So
here's the thing that you just talked about. I'm going to translate this to American terms.
Thank you.
You just talked about generic realtor services, but this is genius. I really like it. You gave it a name. You called it Investor Support Program. And that's something that I think is great. I love it. I love this idea. So my head's spinning right now. So think about that. You package this whole idea and you say, what is the Investor Support Program? So you come to us. We're going to get you pre-qualified to purchase. We're going to educate you on the market. We're going to find you the best rental property. We're going to help you make an offer on that rental property. And then we're going to manage that puppy from start to finish. And investors want that. They need that. Some people call it turnkeys. There's all kinds [S2] Yep. [S1] Of different terms out there that has been used. So I want to throw another idea at you here, because this is a mastermind. This is not necessarily an interview where you tell me how great you are. This is some, you know, we're mastermind [S2] Great. [S1] Right here. So one thing that we put into place that you guys might want to consider is we call it investor pocket listings. And so the concept is, if you get a homeowner and you manage for that homeowner and they say, I'm done, I want to sell, I'm cashing out, I'm moving on, I need my VA benefits, I need my cash to go buy another property in New Zealand, whatever they're going to do. So rather than waiting for that tenant to vacate and then putting that home on the market as a primary residence home, we take that home, we take that tenant, we take that lease agreement, we take the property management company, which is us, and we package that and put it out to only investors who sign our letter of intent. And the letter of intent is real easy. It's a one-pager. It says, we're going to use RentWorks to manage the property. We understand that there's going to be reduced commissions. We understand it's reduced sales price because there's no vacancy. They're buying the tenant in place, they're buying the management company, and they're buying the home at a reduced cost. And so in the last 90 days, 120 days, we've sold three of those. And they came on and went off the market in 2 days on average for all three of them. And the owners loved it, the brand new buyers loved it, and the home just changed hands in the inventory. It never left RentWorks as the inventory, it just changed hands. And so we made a small commission on it, but it never left us as a rental property. And so that's the key point that people are forgetting is, rather than just wait till the tenant vacates, sell the home outright with, you know, a vacant home, try to keep that in the inventory somehow by selling it to an investor that you find and cultivate.
Brad, that's an absolutely fantastic idea. And what I love about that is that you are clipping the ticket, so to speak. You're getting a small commission, but you're really packaging that in such a way so that you're not going to lose it. And I think any of us that are business owners are thinking, that's fantastic, and I'm going to look at that straight away. That's great.
You know, we were experiencing such a high turnover rate. Well, churn rate is the official term, to where you get owners that leave. And so various different reasons. You get the ones that you fire. You get the ones that, you know, let their cousins sell their home. You can't really change, or they move back in. You can't really, you know, it's not bad or good. And then you get the good losses, you know, air quote good losses. And those were where we sold the homes. And what we were finding is we were selling way too many of those to primary resident people. And so that loss, let's say it was 10%. Let's say it was 50 homes a year. We want to cut that in half. So we want to sell 25 of those to investors inside of our inventory. And now our investors are trained up to where we put it on the market and it's like gone in seconds. They're like, oh, you got another one? I'll take it. Because the last two are awesome. You know, yeah. We got one
That's
guy cash fire. And so all you need is one investor to do that. So if you build the program and you sell a couple, three to various investors, one of them are just going to fall in love with that. And they're going to say, Greg, I'm going to buy whatever you put on the market in front of me because I trust you. I know you. I like you. And it's going to stay in the inventory forever. You're going to manage it. That's the power of it.
That really, really is fantastic. And I think that's the El Dorado of realty and property management is the cycle where you're selling, but you're keeping it and you're managing it and earning that money and coming back around, selling it again and earning that money. So it's certainly very, very, very sound.
Let's talk about keys to growth right now. So one of the things we do every year is we set up a growth goal. And I don't want to talk about mine necessarily, but I want to hear about what you guys do. Go through the drill of what you guys do every year to sit down and say, okay, we want to grow by X. And then you start formulating that plan. So talk us through that mindset and that cycle.
Sure, Brad. I think the idea with goal setting, which comes from board level as well as working with management, is we set a target and work backwards. So we don't set a target and then just work towards it in a way that is rather haphazard or unorganized. What we need to look at is, what is the goal? Let's say the goal, just for easy round figure, is to grow by 100 properties in a year. So allowing for the sort of losses that you talked about. So growing by 100 properties. So thinking, right, what is my conversion rate? How many times do I face-to-face do a presentation with people? And let's say that that's 80%. Well, then you need to be in front of, for that 100 people, and my maths might be wrong, but probably about 120 to get that 100. Now, let's work that backwards. How many calls or leads do I need? How many face-to-face networking meetings do I do? And so we actually work it backwards right through to so far as things like your marketing online and so forth to measure your inquiries. So what we measure is everything from the inquiry stage through to the face-to-face meetings, through to the conversion, how many are converting, and then to get that goal. Now, that might sound like a lot of work, but actually it's not too bad at all. I have a Google document, a spreadsheet, if you like, that records all of my activity, and I just daily, it only takes a few minutes, as I'd make calls or so forth, I note all that down. So my boss, who looks after me, says, okay, Greg, you made so many calls, it's probably not enough calls, and that would probably show in the appointments and that sort of thing. And any step of that process, if it's not working properly, the conversion process, I'm not converting high enough, or if the leads we're not getting enough, or leads to appointments aren't enough, we can see all of that. So if you know your figures, then it's very easy. And contrary to popular belief, unfortunately, to get good results, you do need hard work. Much as I'd like to say there's a magic button, it is just volume, number of calls. And yes, there are ways as a BDM you can get the conversion rate as high as possible, of course, and that makes a massive difference. But it's just a matter of numbers and doing the work to get the results.
Let's talk about a couple of things here. Let's go into lead sources. And then I'm going to talk about conversion rates after that, kind of percentages. So let's talk lead sources. So we have All Property Management. We have Google. We have Lead Simple, which is a CRM platform. And then mm-hmm. we have Facebook and LinkedIn and all this other stuff. Having said all that, what has been working for you guys over there for lead sources?
Okay, probably the top three, Brad. I'll go in order of the top lead source is the internet. Which has changed over 20 years that I've been in real estate. So by the internet, I mean strategies like Google Ads and Facebook Ads are working well for us. Managing our online reputation is absolutely crucial. I cannot mention that highly enough, that if you Google real estate in Palmerston North or property management in Palmerston North in New Zealand, our company will appear on the maps. We have more reviews than anybody else and higher reviews. So managing that reputation, because property management in my market, and I'd suggest your market as well, is something that people maybe have a bad experience, or they get tired, or they can't be bothered, or they're too busy, and they Google property management. It's not something that they walk around thinking about all the time. So appearing on the Google Maps, maybe a Google Ads are cost effective in my experience, as are Facebook ads that are well written. So the lead source that's working extremely well is aspects around the internet, although I must say the highest proportion would be work we're doing around SEO, content marketing, and those reviews. The well-written ad in the likes of Facebook can certainly get high-quality leads around offering free appraisals of properties and that sort of thing in a very easy way. So the top sources is the internet. The second is literally face-to-face networking, and that is where my marketplace is about 80 to 90,000 people. So I did, I think last month, 18 networking meetings that were either face-to-face like we are now, taking somebody for a coffee and having a chat, or in group situations. But a real key for a business development manager for networking is to, in a one-on-one, if you go to network with a business person, let's say it's an accountant, for example, is that the reason that you're there is not to sell your service. The reason you're there is to help them grow their business. So you take them out, you learn about their business, you ask some questions, you say, look, I want to send more clients to you, help me do that because we know each other and I'd like to do that for you. And you talk about nothing but them and their business at the beginning of the conversation as much as you can, because naturally, and it's psychological, the conversation turns and they want to know about your business and help you. So if you're doing networking from the right place, and you might say in your heart that you want to help people, then they'll see that and they'll want to help you. So networking for me works extremely well. And that works in two ways. Directly with the person you're talking to, they might work with you. But if not, and this is like the same for the investor support system, if you're giving people help and advice free of charge, if they don't take on your help directly, they'll feel interested or inspired or even slightly guilty enough to go and tell their friends when they're talking about rental properties. So the networking works very well where I'm talking to you, Brad, today. We talked about your business and how I can help you. And then eventually the conversation turned and you asked about how you can help me. And I said, well, Brad, next time you're at a barbecue or something like that, if somebody's talking about a rental property and an issue, just let them know that I'm here to offer free advice and help. And that just perpetuates. So you can get your first hand direct referrals or the referrals that people out there in the marketplace are finding for you. It's a very, very good source. So just to recap that, there's the internet and networking, but there's one other one, well, possibly two actually, but in particular, my company, we have a sales division, and that is Realtors selling real estate. So I do a lot of free services for them. Now I know, Brad, your business works just in the property management arena, but I also offer this free service for any realtors from any company in my marketplace. And that's valuing any properties they have for sale as if they are to rent and giving them a 7-page document that they can provide when they have opens or home opens, I think you might call them, so that the salesperson who is selling that property feels knowledgeable, that you've given them some tools so that if the person is an investor, that you're providing them information. If the investor is looking to borrow money from the bank, having a rental valuation can help with that. But of course, the valuation itself, even if it's with ABC Sales Realty Company, has got all my details on and a property management service. So working with salespeople from other companies is just ringing up, offering to help, and that's the third largest source of new properties are either salespeople in my own company or salespeople in other companies. And Brad, if there was a company that only does sales and not property management, then why not offer them training? Go in and train their staff on some of the things that their investor buyers might be wanting to know, or it could be legal matters, etc. So that's where I get referrals even from companies that have property management divisions because I'm building that relationship with the salespeople. So if you're passionate, and my marketing in general is very much give in order to receive. So one thing that the listeners will have noticed a lot today is I'm often talking about free. I'll give advice for free and complimentary. And that for a lot of people, they think, well, don't give away things for free. You've spent a lot of time and money learning that. But I can tell you that, as I alluded to earlier, if you're passionate, if you're really helping people and moving them forwards because you want them to succeed, they'll tell all their friends and those friends will come.
One key giant thing there that just sparked my mind was offering free market estimates for realtors. And that's something that's nobody does here. They're just going to go to a listing appointment for a sale. Well, they're going to assume they want to sell. And so sometimes they would get blindsided by that question. Well, I don't really want to sell it at this point necessarily because it sounds like I'm going to take a loss. But what if I rent it? What's it going to be worth? And they could say, just sell it. Just sell.
So if I'm an investor buyer, and I'm coming to an open that you're a salesperson, Brad. Let's say you didn't have the information about the rent or so forth. And I said to you, Brad, how much will this rent for? You'd feel a little bit uncomfortable because you're sort of having a guess, but it's not what you work in every day. You don't work in renting. You're a salesperson. You're a realtor to sell the property. Whereas what this is doing is, because realtors, when they're selling properties, you want to sound knowledgeable, you want to look professional and so forth. And this is helping them to do that, but in a way that they don't have to do any work to do it. You're just handing them the information and the expertise. And there is the 7-page document I'll share with you, Brad, afterwards. And we can maybe put a link for the listeners somewhere about that, just to see an example. It is a part information tool, but of course, it's really a sales tool for a business development manager.
Good stuff. So I'm going to talk some real metric nerd stuff here for a second.
Okay.
Let's talk conversion rates. And we kind of have a weird little thing we're tracking here on our side. I want to tell you what we do, and we can share what you guys do. So we're trying to track conversion rates within the first 30 days, meaning that we sign up X percent of interviews that we've had, and they sign up or choose somebody within the first 30 days. Then we have a second metric around that that goes past that to infinity. And so clearly, I think we're like 83% for the first 30 days. And then it drops off the table to like 36% for at all if they ever sign up with anybody that we can track. And so it's really interesting because we could interview somebody today, like today, but they don't sign up for 6 months because they're not moving for 6 months. Mm-hmm. Or their agent's in there for another 6 months or whatever the situation could be, but they still choose us. So it almost like hurts your conversion rate, but you still win in the end. So that's how we're tracking it. I don't know if that's right, wrong, or other. That's why I bring it up to see what you can offer us for how you're tracking conversion rates.
Brad, that system that you've just mentioned virtually mirrors ours, and that it is actually a very good way of measuring it. And I think many of the folks listening would resonate with the fact that they will sign up, but it's 6 months or it's 12 months, because you always have people that are investigating nice and early. And that does affect your conversion rate if you lump everything into one basket. The way that we look at the conversion rates is probably not quite as good as what you do, in that we simply look at the number of presentations, face-to-face presentations I do, and then the number of properties that I'm signing up. And that is still very high. But bearing in mind that even if a property is signing up from 6 months ago, it comes into that figure. So it's literally just on a month-by-month basis, how many has Greg signed up? How many presentations has he done? And history has shown us that if Greg's doing a certain number of presentations, there'll be a certain amount of new business. If this new business is too low, we need to adjust upwards the number of presentations, which means we have to adjust upwards the number of lead opportunities in marketing. So
could I ask, in a real personal question, what's your conversion rate?
Yeah, it's in the high 80s, although I just haven't quite figured it out yet. And I've got a colleague, Bob, who works in our fielding office, and his is exceptional. it's better than mine, and he's quite stunning. But because we're offering a overall package, and we haven't touched on this too much, which is, I believe, is so far superior to anybody else, I can't understand why people wouldn't want to sign up. And I don't mean that from an egotistical point of view, but I just mean that you can put forward a case where, all things being equal, the other companies just cannot compete. And the way that we do that is using uniqueness, but uniqueness across many areas. And there's being unique means that you might have a product or service that no one else has, but that's very, very difficult. I'm lucky. I've got a few of those in my marketplace, the Matterport being one, the walkthrough videos is another. However, let's not get hung up on getting the latest and best idea that's magically going to win new business. Let's look at what the competition are doing and try and do, even if you have something that's not unique, like a money-back guarantee that maybe two other companies offer, but there's still probably another 10 companies that don't. And then the next thing you offer might be something like a free market update once per year on the value of their property, and only one or two others do. And when you have a wide range of services you provide, there'll be none of your competitors that can match what you do, because they won't do everything that you do. So we
create that. Yep.
Yeah.
The secret shopper thing you mentioned is what we call a secret shopper. And it goes right back into know your enemy. And if you know what your competition is doing around you, you can make adjustments to your value and service offerings to maybe not necessarily compete, but at least meet and potentially beat them in certain instances. So very good stuff there. And the conversion rate face-to-face, obviously that's a testament to you, because if you're getting in front of them, they're signing up, which means they know, like, and trust you. And that's a great high conversion rate. And I think that's an honest figure. I don't think you're going to BS it, because, you know, in the industry, once in a while you start hearing the people, as soon as I meet with them in person, they sign up no matter what. I never lose business. You hear that.
Yeah, and that's where I guess the what excites me a lot lately, Brad, is that, and all of us may be a little bit guilty of this in our working life, is that periodically I go through the process of identifying for me, as a BDM in my job role, what are the things that I'm doing that are taking up my time that are stopping me from being in front of people face-to-face and so forth. And I know that you're a fan of outsource workers, as we are too, or just having administrators that are helping. And when you have a high conversion rate, all that you want to do, and all most BDMs want to do, is be in front of people, because you know you're going to be successful and you believe in your product. And so lately, again, just as recently as a few weeks ago, I've identified there's as many as 8 hours in a week where I'm doing jobs around marketing and so forth to do with new properties I'm bringing on that I don't need to be doing. So those are being outsourced, which is really exciting. So sometimes you have to say, what is a good use of my time? I won't tell you what my hourly rate is because it's rather high, but my hourly rate shouldn't pay for editing a video, or it shouldn't pay for filming a video. It should be paid for signing somebody up and getting a great return. So I'd encourage people just to look at and be honest, are there things in your life that you could go to somebody else? And that's where an administrator working at a lower pay scale could do the things that are important but of lesser value to the company.
Well, Greg, we're getting close to wrapping up on time here. So look, I want to hear about the product you're offering, which is basically a free book. So tell us more about that and kind of where to find that.
Great. Well, we have a website, and the websites are a little different down here. So the website is www.watsonrealestate.co.nz. And if you go to our webpage, we've got a wonderful array of resources. And one of the ones which is very popular, it's been read over 5,000 times, is this book, Earn Thousands More from Your Rented Property. Now, there's two things I would encourage people to do. One is to go and request that book, and I will send it out to you. And the reason for this book is twofold, as I always have an ulterior motive. One is to give to property owners to help them be more successful. So if any of your listeners want to copy or adapt this book, they're welcome to, because it's something you offer to people to help them be more successful. But when they actually read this book, they find out actually there's a lot more to property management and earning money than what they thought. And so the ulterior motive is that they'll want to use property management. So you're giving them something which is genuinely helpful, but in a way it's almost too difficult for them.
That's kind of the Home Depot technique we've always talked about here, where you walk into Home Depot and say, I want to build a deck. And they say, great, you're going to need this, and then it just tails off and you're like, whoa, too much. How much to pay you to do it for me?
Exactly.
So we call that the Home Depot technique. I love it. Love that book. So we go to watsonrealestate.co.nz, and there'll be a link in there. They can find that and then download it or order it from you and go from there.
Yeah, another thing I'm a fan of, Brad, as well, is LinkedIn. So if you are in LinkedIn or in Facebook, you can find your way to me. There will be a picture that looks a little bit like this that will help you identify who it is. My profile on LinkedIn is Greg-Watson. And I'd welcome anyone to join me on Facebook or LinkedIn. Our Facebook Watson Real Estate page is something that I'd encourage people to follow or like, because if nothing else, they can see what we're doing, see if it works, engage with me, and share it with their clients or share their own spin on things.
Fantastic episode, Greg. Really appreciate you coming on and talking to us about different techniques in New Zealand. A lot of it applies directly to the U.S. market. So huge thank you for coming on, and look forward to meeting you sometime soon in the future.
Brad, it's been my absolute pleasure. Thank you for having me.
This episode of the Property Management Mastermind Show is sponsored by Mark Cunningham of Grace Property Management. Now, Mark has created some amazing products for property management companies. We have implemented his systems and his business income streams into our business here, and I can personally recommend them. If you're in the property management business, I encourage you to visit their website, as you'll definitely find a product that will improve your business. I know Mark personally, and just a small investment to pick up one of his golden nuggets could earn you a return many times over. To learn more, go to propertymanagementsystem.org, again, propertymanagementsystem.org, and to get a 10% discount on all of Mark's products, use the promo code BRAD, B-R-A-D.
This has been a podcast episode by propertymanagementproductions.com. Be sure to subscribe to our podcast, leave us feedback, and come back for our next episode.